In hour number one, we're spending with Robert Tobias of American University. It's great to see you again, Bob. There is a lot for us to talk about today, and we'll dig into it in just a moment. This is a time of great upheaval for the average federal employee. People don't know budget-wise what's going to happen at their agencies. There are many things for us to consider, and we'll dig into a lot of leadership topics on the program today. It's great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Happy to do it. What do you think right now, with the things that we're talking about? Mike Causey seems like is writing about something new every day, some maybe attack is too strong of a word, but some little chip that's being potentially taken away from either the federal worker or the federal workforce. Today, we're learning about the Postal Service offering some early retirement offers to their employees. What do you think is the number one thing that's on the mind of managers trying to lead in this environment today?
I think the issue of leading is really an excellent question, because these managers feel the same kind of squeeze on pay, on benefits, lack of respect that those they lead feel. So how to come to work every day and be up and encourage people to do their best, I think, is a very, very difficult task for every federal leader at every level today.
The idea of it sounds like they're getting it from both ends. I mean, they are responsible for making sure that morale stays as high as possible, that their teams stay as productive as possible. And as you say, they feel the same pressures because they're also sitting at their desk saying, I'm not getting a raise. I know I'm not getting a raise for 2 years, or whatever the issue du jour is. One of the things that you and I have talked about pretty extensively in the past is instruction in leadership. And obviously it's something you have an interest in because that's what you do for a living. Helping managers understand the techniques of management, not just the techniques of mission. A lot of managers come into their positions with obviously excellence at the execution of the mission, and maybe not a lot of experience or not a long-term experience in how to manage people and encourage productivity. Tell me about your thoughts as we talked about and as we emailed about before you came on, about where that stands and what some of those folks that you deal with on a regular basis are thinking about what their futures look like.
Well, one of the real issues that I think you raise, Francis, is this issue of doing versus leading.
Mm-hmm.
People get selected for the most part for their positions because they're excellent technicians. Then they get promoted and they have this very interesting challenge to consider. Do I continue being the best technician in the room, or do I become a leader?
Mm-hmm.
Which means I have to give up being the best technician in the room. I have to give up evaluating myself in terms of whether the best technician in the room, and learn to evaluate myself in terms of whether those I lead accomplish my goals and objectives.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a combination of giving up and redefinition of success. And I don't think that there are a lot of mentors who frame getting a promotion in those terms. I don't think there are a lot of leadership programs who really discuss the difficult process of redefinition that every successful manager has to go through in order to be successful.
Do you think the managers or the potential managers understand that at all when they're in the process of considering that transition, or even hopefully planning their careers to if they want to move in that direction?
I think very few. I think most people apply for the promotion in the hopes that they'll get paid more.
Mm-hmm.
And very little consideration of what it will mean in terms of what they have to or should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or, more importantly, what responsibility they have to those they lead.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think of just about everything possible in a sports analogy. And I am reminded of the old saw in baseball that great players make lousy managers. And the manager term is a little bit different here, but I think the analogy is still apt. Ted Williams was a manager here in Washington in the late 60s, early 70s, and not terribly successful because he just couldn't understand why everybody couldn't just hit the ball like he could. He was arguably the greatest one ever. Frank Robinson, a little more recently, was a manager here in Washington and not terribly successful in his managerial career. Same idea. Couldn't understand why somebody just can't do it. Do you see that a lot among people, especially in the early phases of making that transition from technician to leader?
I do. Because there's been a lot of research that shows that the number one characteristic or competence of those in the senior executive service that leads to an increase in their evaluation is the amount of time that they spend developing those they lead. And it's intuitively correct, because most people, when asked who their most favorite manager was or is, will say the person who spends the most time with me.
Mm-hmm. Whoever invests in me the most.
Whoever mentors me, whoever guides me, whoever talks to me, whoever develops me. Well, that takes time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those who do that, those who take the time, create relationships where those they lead knock themselves out to accomplish that leader's goals and objectives. But what it requires is that the leader spends time developing as opposed to doing. The leader spends time figuring out how to delegate as opposed to doing.
Mm-hmm. Is there a potential to take it too far if you're the manager where you spend so much time investing in some of the individuals in your team that you lose sight of the overall development, not just of your team, but of yourself, because that's a process, obviously, that you're invested in, too?
Yes. Every good behavior can go to excess. But frankly, Francis, I don't see too many people doing that.
All right. It's always great to have you in here. We're going to continue for the hour, and I know you're willing to stay for the hour because you brought a big tub of coffee. So we will continue to talk about all these leadership challenges that people are facing at agencies as the hour goes on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose, Robert Tobias of American University, my guest, and we'll be back in a moment.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Valenti. Research has already shown that Alzheimer's disease may cause changes in the brain a decade or more before any symptoms appear. Dr. Crichton Phelps at the National Institutes of Health says now new research guidelines will change the way treatments are studied.
There have been drug trials in the past that failed because we think maybe the reason for the failure was it was too late. The brain was already damaged too badly, and nothing they could do would correct that. Maybe some of the ones that failed earlier could even work if we did it earlier.
For details on the guidelines, visit www.nia.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by the National Institutes of Health, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Eric.
India and Pakistan are still trying to figure out how to demilitarize one of the world's most dangerous battlefields in the Himalayan region. In a sign of how far apart the nuclear-armed rivals are, defense secretaries from both countries held 2 days of closed-door talks in New Delhi with no progress. They're trying to figure out how to reach an agreement on withdrawing troops from the mountainous no-man's land above the Sai-Chin Glacier. I'm J.J. Green.
Estimates show that more than 20,000 airline crew members clear security at our nation's airports each day. Since the beginning of this year, a unique group of 17,500 crew members from 61 different air carriers have been using the Airing Crew Pass service to test a new expedited screening process. This trial program at BWI, Pittsburgh, and Columbia, South Carolina uses 3 layers of secure data to positively identify each crew member in typically less than 8 seconds. Airing is focused on keeping you moving safely. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
The Government IT Solutions Spotlight is brought to you by CDWG.
Seven agencies are turning to challenges to solve long-standing problems. The Environmental Protection Agency, NASA, and the Homeland Security Department are but a few who are using the Challenge.gov platform to seek innovative ideas from the public. Dave McClure is the Associate Administrator in the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies at GSA. He says it's a three-step approach to innovation. Discover the ideas, test them, and then accelerate the rollout.
If you're in federal IT, you know that every internet connection and every mobile device poses a threat to your data. Visit cdwg.com/security to learn how our security experts use the latest technology to help keep your agency ahead of those threats. CDWG, people who get it.
Visit cdwg.com to learn how FlexPod, a scalable infrastructure package from NetApp, Cisco, and VMware, can ease your transition to the cloud.
I'm Amy Morris. Here's a look at Tuesday morning's Federal Drive. We'll take a closer look at the current business climate for government contractors. Guy Timberlake with the American Small Business Coalition will join us with details on what small businesses are facing as new procurement rules take effect. That and more Tuesday morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. For all the latest federal news, check out our website, federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Robert Tobias of American University is my guest. And we've talked a little bit about the structure of the government and leadership and so on. One of the things that leaders are finding is, if I hear the phrase more with less, do more with less one more time, I think I'm just going to go bananas. It's that phrase, shall we say, has jumped the shark. And at the end of the day, I don't think we need to hear that phrase anymore. That's just my opinion.
I agree.
Okay. Well, we've got that one nailed then. But the concept of more with less, I think if you went to the average private sector company and you said, well, you're going to do more with less, I think people would look at you like you had three heads. Because I think the first response would be, if I have less, I will have to then decide what I'm not going to do. I told you when we were off the air, when Mike Causey was on with me last week, we talked about the idea of not just right-sizing the workforce, but right-sizing the mission is the phrase, is the name that I'm attaching to that. Later this afternoon, I'm going to have Bill Dugan from NFFE on the program, and we're going to talk about that because he raised that point to a House subcommittee last week. Tell us if you're going to give us this amount less than we have now and this number fewer people, what we don't have to do anymore, what's not expected anymore, what part of the mission will be cut in addition to workforce and budget. That concept, where does that concept have to come from of really looking at what the agencies are doing and figuring out what's mission critical and what maybe either another agency could do or what's just not going to be able to get done because we can't afford it anymore? Or is that even a fair way to look at it, do you think?
Well, when you think about doing more with less, it's possible to do more with less with changed business processes and increased technology. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. But it seems to me that Congress is not considering whether business processes will be revised or whether technology will be implemented, because technology is being cut, employees are being cut, and there is no cut in what the mission is or the scope of the mission of the agency. So I think what's going to happen is that the agency's funds will be cut, individuals will be cut, there'll be no money for technology, and then, of course, a year or two from now, Congress will call these same agency leaders back and complain about the fact that the mission is not being accomplished and abdicating themselves of all responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to... How do you work around that? If you're at an agency and you see that happening, it certainly is within the realm of reason for that to happen. It wouldn't be the first time that's happened in Washington. Is there a way to work around that, or is that just a hazard of the profession in this day and age, given where we are budget-wise and resource-wise and so on?
Well, I'm familiar with some agencies trying to manage reduced funds by listing all of the things that they do and trying to say, this is less important, and so we won't do it. But, of course, the moment they announce that, the stakeholders for the programs who are being cut down or eliminated go to Congress and say, don't cut that program. Keep that program on.
Mm-hmm.
So then Congress says, keep that program on, and at the same time cuts the funds. So sometimes Congress is described as the board of directors of the executive branch, and if that's so, I think they're doing a pretty lousy job these days.
Well, it strikes me that there, when you have that many directors, it's impossible to really get enough of them to agree on anything to go in any particular direction.
Well, I did come across an interesting statistic not so long ago that the Department of Homeland Security reports to 118 separate congressional committees,
mm-hmm.
Many of whom are telling DHS to do exactly the opposite thing. So if you're in the executive branch receiving that kind of information, what do you do? And the members of Congress refuse to reorganize themselves,
mm-hmm.
To provide the kind of oversight that would be necessary to really be helpful to DHS.
Yeah, I did a show on that last summer, and I'm going to do a follow-up on it again this summer, because last year that number was in the 80s or 90s, I think. So what that says to me is that even more people want pieces of all of these components, these 20 however many components, and not only are they not willing to give up some of their autonomy, they're trying to consolidate more and more places, which makes it even worse. And I think the perils of that are self-evident, just the time that's involved in submitting to oversight for leadership at an agency like that has just got to be through the roof. It's got to really impede the ability to actually accomplish something. When you're sitting there and you're trying and you're in that decision-making chair at an agency and you're trying to do, as you said, and we're going to try to make an effort at least to prioritize the projects that we're working on and figure out if there are places that we can pull back. How great should and how great is, do you think, the political consideration that goes into those, the likelihood that Mr. or Ms. Congressman or Woman X will be knocking at our door if this or that goes or stays?
Well, I think an agency leader who didn't take that into account would be foolish, because if indeed they're going to be making decisions that can be easily overturned by a powerful member of Congress, it would be unwise to take that course of action. So I think it's in the mind of any political appointee making any decision concerning cutting back programs.
We have a lot more to cover throughout the hour, and we will continue our conversation. Robert Tobias of American University is my guest for the hour on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back in just a moment.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 AM Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Tradition never graduates, so make plans with family and friends to spend fall Saturdays in Annapolis with Navy football. Order your season tickets today. Join us at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium for a game day atmosphere like no other. The best way to ensure tickets to all our games, including Delaware and Air Force, is to become a season ticket holder. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com.
stress. Sometimes a little of it can be a good thing. It can motivate and inspire us. But most of the time, stress is not our friend. Work stress can cause depression, headaches, sleep problems. It can increase your risk of disease and on-the-job injury. At Kaiser Permanente, we believe that stress is serious business. Because when employees are stressed, everyone suffers. So we promote programs that help employees deal with the demands of work and home in healthy ways. Like stress breaks, workplace yoga, stress relief classes, and more. It's a total health approach. That's what Kaiser Permanente does for employers that choose us. Provides tools for companies to keep employees healthy, less stressed, and more productive. Find out how a Kaiser Permanente plan can help your employees and your business thrive. Go to kp.org/thrive9to5.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
I'm not just some tall drink of water, you know. I mean, I wash your dishes, I do the laundry, I help put out fires. I'm always there when you need me. 24/7, at home, at work, just about anywhere. And I'm not expensive, but I have great taste. Well, I guess I am a tall drink of water, but I'm tap water, and that makes me special. For more information about what only tap water delivers, visit drinktap.org.
Do you get enough sleep? And is it good sleep? Your pajamas may soon be able to provide data previously only available in a sleep lab. Forget about all those wires that monitor things like brain activity in sleep studies but may actually keep you from sleeping, says Thomas Lipoma of Nix Devices.
We found specific indicators that can tell us exactly what stage of sleep you're in just from your breathing.
So they've engineered a form-fitting shirt embedded with two strategically placed breath sensor pads and thread-thin wires that send data to a recorder placed in the shirt's pocket.
You can't feel the wires. The pads themselves are so thin, it's almost undetectable as you wear it.
Plug the recorder into your computer and it will upload the data to a website where you can analyze the results at home every morning. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Plan now to attend Affirm's July 12th scholarship fundraiser and sample wine and food pairings from South American vineyards under the skylights of the Carnegie Institution for Science Rotunda in Washington, D.C. A silent auction will benefit Affirm's college scholarship endowments for technology students across the country. Bid on an array of unique items from a weekend in Las Vegas, a group wine dinner at the Capitol Grill, golf lessons, and dinner with Helen Thomas. Join the festivities on Tuesday, July 12th at 5:30 p.m. Register today at Affirm.org.
Federal News Radio in a Web 2.0 world. Find Federal News Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio group on Facebook. Chat with our team and make connections with others in the federal arena. Email us at fnrcomment@federalnewsradio.com. Visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Robert Tobias of American University is my guest for the hour, talking about management and leadership. And the top story right now, Bob, at federalnewsradio.com is headline, Bill Cuts Fed Workforce by 10%. And Jason Miller, our executive editor, writes, three Republican House lawmakers want to codify the Deficit Commission's recommendations to cut the federal workforce by 10%. Congressman Daryl Issa, Dennis Ross, and Jason Chaffetz today introduced the Reducing the Size of the Federal Government Through Attrition Act of 2011. And in a statement, Congressman Issa says, in 1996, Bill Clinton declared the era of big government to be over. From January 94 to December 2000, the administration and Republicans in Congress worked together to reduce the size of the federal workforce by 381,000. Because of explosive growth in the federal workforce in this administration, these accomplishments have been erased. This bill will help us reverse the growth curve. What I don't see there is any reference to the size of the increase in the contracting workforce. I don't know the numbers, but my understanding is that the numbers were considerably higher in the wake of those cuts than they were beforehand. Is that an accurate statement?
It is. I think the headline is misleading. Bill cuts Fed workforce by 10%. What that headline refers to is those who are full-time federal employees. The federal workforce is far larger, about two times the number of full-time federal employees consist of contractors. So if we're going to cut the federal workforce, there's no reference in this story about cutting contractors. So to get back to what you said before, it's what agencies are going to do and what Congress is going to abet them in doing is perhaps cutting the number of full-time federal employees while at the same time increasing the number of contractors who are employed by the federal government. Absent that, there has to be the tough decisions that you were talking about before. Which work are we not going to do? And I think that at least in my memory, I can't remember Congress saying clearly and explicitly to, for example, the Department of Defense or the Internal Revenue Service or the Social Security Administration, you should cut one or more of the things that you do.
Mm-hmm. What I don't see in this equation, and I will say Congressman Issa, Congressman Ross, and Congressman Chaffetz have all been guests on Federal News Radio in the past, and they've all answered our questions pretty directly, and we are reaching out to them as we speak to have them talk to either my show or to Jason or to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris about this and where this is headed. But what has been missing in my view in this equation is the conversation essentially that we talked about a little bit earlier, and that is if you have fewer federal employees and you have the same amount of work to be done and you have more contractors, you don't wind up saving any money, and it doesn't seem to me, because you have to spend something to get that work accomplished. There's got to be some outlay. The work's not going to get done for free. And if the whole point of this is for deficit and debt reduction, you don't accomplish that by going in this direction. I don't see. Am I missing something, do you think?
I don't think you are. But some in Congress count reducing the federal government by reducing the federal workforce. I think that's very short-sighted and wrong-headed. The size of the federal government is composed of both full-time federal employees as supplemented by the private sector contracting workforce.
There have been any number of hearings. There have been any number of speeches and bills introduced about the size of the contracting workforce. Inherently governmental becomes prominent when those conversations start. What is okay to be done by contractors and what shouldn't be? And that adds a whole nother layer to this debate that we could spend an hour on just on that subject. And we actually should sometime. I would love to engage about that, because that's, I think, one of the few areas in these leadership questions you and I haven't really talked about a lot yet. So we'll get to that at some point. But laying out these priorities in a way that is doable. I have to say, when I look at this, my forecast for this is pass the House, nothing will happen in the Senate, and it's all going to essentially be an exercise in nothing. Do you think that's a reasonable forecast for this at this point in time?
I don't. I think that if there is a budget, if agreement is ultimately reached between the Republicans and the Democrats in the Senate, something will be cut from the executive branch agencies. Some benefits will be cut for full-time federal employees. I think if there's any agreement reached, I think it's predictable that that's going to occur.
So people really shouldn't just write this off, as I was maybe a little too hasty in doing?
No, I don't think so. Maybe not 10%, but certainly I believe that if an agreement is reached, one of the goals will be fewer full-time federal employees, as disingenuous as that goal might seem as stated.
For the reasons that we've discussed, because that work would just go over to the contracting workforce and that'd be it. It wouldn't be an actual reduction in the amount of productivity of the government.
It wouldn't be a reduction in the amount of dollars spent.
Yeah.
But it would be a reduction in the number of full-time federal employees.
We're at a place I think where I'm mentally going to go around in circles, because I can't get out of this mode of this not adding up. And so I don't want to belabor the point. Let's talk a little bit about inherently governmental when we come back, actually. I'd like to do that. And I want to talk, too, about something that I know is very dear to your heart, and that is developing leaders in an environment like this. We'll continue those conversations with Robert Tobias when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Luke Russer. President Obama just wrapped up a meeting with his national security team, topping the agenda the war in Afghanistan. The president has promised a significant drawdown of U.S. forces from there in July. White House spokesman Jay Carney.
The president is going to make his decision, as he has said all along, based on conditions on the ground, not whether or not there will be a drawdown or the beginning of a drawdown, but the size and scope and pace of the drawdown.
More than 2,300 firefighters are battling a wildfire in eastern Arizona. It broke out 10 days ago, and so far there is zero containment. NBC's George Lewis.
We're looking at wind gusts going up to 50 miles an hour this afternoon, and a similar forecast for tomorrow and the next day, and a very low humidity and a lot of heat.
Former IMF chief Dominic Strauss-Kahn says he is innocent of trying to rape a hotel maid. That was the French diplomat's first court appearance since he was released on $6 million bail last month. He remains under house arrest. For news on MSNBC.com, I'm Luke Russert, NBC News Radio.
I got to gold with this prescription.
We got to gold with mouthwash.
Go gold with your Wellness Plus card and you'll get 20% off your entire Rite Aid store for a year. Every purchase gets you closer. Every prescription gets you closer, faster. No other pharmacy gives you more value.
We saved almost $100 since we turned gold.
So how are you going to get to gold? Enroll in Wellness Plus, free today, in-store or at RiteAid.com. That's the value of wellness. Certain limitations apply. Government-funded prescriptions and prescriptions dispensed in New York and New Jersey, and certain non-prescription items are not eligible. See your local Rite Aid for details.
Patience may be a virtue, but waiting for your hotel reward points to add up is pointless.
Enjoy more comfort and value immediately at America's Best Value Inn. Join our free value club and get an instant 15% discount, room upgrade, and late checkout when available. Sign up at americasbestvalueinn.com or any of our 900 hotels in North America. Save more money with immediate rewards at America's Best Value Inn.
Now, that was enlightening.
It's the only program of its kind in the world. A unique opportunity to help strengthen our country's defense and further your career. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. The only executive MBA degree tailored to developing leaders and managers in the U.S. defense industry. A unique combination of high-caliber executive business education, defense industry-specific knowledge, and hands-on learning designed to accelerate your career in the military, government, and corporate defense sectors. All without the career interruption of a traditional degree. Learn more at som.gmu.edu/defense. That's som.gmu.edu/defense. Do it today, because the last day to apply for the fall semester is July 15th. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University, helping our country's defense, advancing your career.
Vacation time is just around the corner. Ready to go? Since 1967, Ackerman Security has been keeping families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, you can trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center. Ackerman offers the latest technology like cell phone control, wireless monitoring, and remote video to your web-enabled phone, iPad, or laptop. Federal government employees get an added bonus. 4 months of monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons 3 to 7.
Hugh Hurwitz is the Deputy Chief Financial Officer and Senior Procurement Executive at the Education Department.
We've done a few things on the early communication side here that I think have worked out really well for us. Our Institute for Education Science is one of our customers. We started posting for them videos of their pre-solicitation information on the Internet to help vendors and offers get a better understanding and be able to see at any time what it is we're doing.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Snakes and frogs. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. You might not be able to teach a snake to fetch your paper, but people do keep them as pets. People keep other reptiles, too, like turtles, as well as frogs and other amphibians. But the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says reptiles and amphibians can carry salmonella bacteria, and thousands of people a year get infected from them. CDC's Linda Capewell.
When people are coming in contact with a reptile or a frog, especially in young children, they're either putting it up to their mouth or they're just not washing their hands properly after contacting these animals.
Capewell says people can also get infected from the water in aquariums when cleaning them in food preparation areas like kitchens. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Profile America, Monday, June 6th. It used to be that cars were fairly simple to repair, but they often broke down. Modern automobiles have become very reliable. They've also gotten extremely complicated, with ABS brakes, traction control, navigation systems, and even self-parking systems. That means there are more things to go wrong and more knowledge needed to repair problems. That's why this is National Automotive Service Professionals Week. The goal is to recognize mechanics across the country for their role in keeping America's millions of cars, trucks, and buses on the road. There are more than 470,000 automotive service facilities in the U.S. Each year, they generate over $100 billion in business. Profile America is in its 15th year as a public service of the U.S. Census Bureau.
Connect with Federal News Radio wherever you are. Like us on Facebook to see the hottest news stories on your wall. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio. Download our free iPhone app. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio. And now, connect to the radio station straight from your cell phone. Just call 712-432-6616. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for social media for details. We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Robert Tobias of American University. And we're talking, as we always do, about leadership. And one of the things that you're very passionate about, and you've been very eloquent in talking about it both on the air and off the air, Bob, is developing leadership skills in people where maybe they weren't before or were very elementary. Before we go to the actual techniques and strategies and so on, tell me about why that does something for you. When you, especially off the air, when we've talked about that, you get a spark. You're just passionate about seeing the lights go on in somebody's brain and the moment when somebody goes, oh, okay, now I get it, when the neurons connect. Why does that jazz you up so much?
Well, I think that in order for those who are led and for leaders to maximize their productivity, they have to be connected. And that's what's often overlooked. They're not connected. They're not engaged. They're not focused on the mission. They're not focused on achieving the goals. They're just focused on reactively on the tasks that are assigned on a day-to-day basis. They're not proactive. And as a result, that engagement is missing. And what I have seen is people who are engaged both intellectually and emotionally productivity increases quite dramatically. There's a lot of data that shows an engaged employee will produce 20% more than an unengaged employee. So it's not only good for business when engagement occurs, it's good for satisfaction. It's good for the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So if the programs I run can challenge people to think about the environment they create for those they lead, I'm very pleased.
Do we not think enough about the what's good for the soul part of it, do you think? You think we focus so much on the day-to-day mission and then the long-term leadership and your technique is this and blah, 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 that we don't think about the inside of the person?
I do. I do think that's true. Because if I can't connect with you, Francis, emotionally, you're not going to work as hard for me. If I hide a piece of my emotion from you, you're going to consider me inauthentic. And the moment you start considering me inauthentic is the moment you start drawing away from me. So there can't be engagement if I lack authenticity as a leader. So this, my struggle to be authentic in the moment is what creates the connection that leads to the engagement that leads to increased productivity.
Is that hard for the leaders and potential leaders that you work with and that you instruct to develop, especially if it's not a skill that they have, if they don't consider themselves, you know, the stereotypical people person? I can talk to anybody and I can connect. And I mean, there are some people that are just like that, but not everybody is. Is that the biggest impediment, do you find?
It is, but here's where I start, Francis. I ask people if they have ever in their career been in an environment where they are willing to give their discretionary energy to their boss. Now, most people answer that question, yes, they have. And then I ask them to define the what was present when they were willing to give their discretionary energy. And almost always people say, number one, I'm involved in something larger than myself. Number two, I'm in a team where there's a high degree of trust. Number three, I know what the goals are. Number four, I get support from my supervisor and so forth. The elements are always the same. And then I ask these students, well, if I were to interview the people who you lead, would they say you create an environment where they want to give their discretionary energy to you? And that's usually the moment when people start thinking about, wow, I'm accountable for something as a leader to those I lead. And then the struggle begins over self-awareness, because if I don't know who I am, if I don't, for example, if I don't know who my what my values are, I'll say my values are A, but I'll act B, and then people will say, well, that guy lacks authenticity. So the struggle for self-awareness begins, the struggle for vulnerability begins, and people are then on a path to achieving both an intellectual and an emotional connection.
You used a word that shows up in our conversations a lot and shows up in every managerial conversation that I have, and that's trust. What's the best book or resource or speech or whatever that you have been exposed to that deals with trust that somebody could listen to or read or consume in whatever form and understand the critical nature of trust in these relationships?
Well, I don't think anyone would say that trust isn't necessary. Whenever groups go bad, whenever relationships go bad, and you say, well, what's wrong here? And everybody says, well, I don't trust the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy says, I don't trust the other guy. So the issue isn't a lack of the role of trust. The challenge is, how do we create it? How do we create the kind of trust that's necessary to have a workplace where a supervisor can say, I need your help. Without those she leads, thinking they're being taken advantage of. How do you create trust in a group where people are willing to give to each other in order to accomplish the overall goal? And I think it's a series of discussions. First, do we have it? How do we get it? And number two, an identified expectations of behaviors. What behavior do I expect from you, Francis? What do you expect from me? And are we going to live by this expected behavior? And number three, a willingness to recognize that strive to be present all the time so that I'm fully transparent with you in the workplace. If I have developed that level of trust where I can be transparent, incredibly creative and innovative things happen.
The second one that you mentioned, the behaviors, the expected behaviors, I think too often it seems to me at least that people make assumptions and people believe that certain acceptable or expected behaviors are implied just by the nature of the relationship, that nobody ever sets out to codify it as you described, and that's maybe the moment where these things go wrong.
Well, you know, Francis, early on in my marriage, somebody said, "Well, what do you assume your wife, the role your wife is going to play in your marriage?" So I listed them all: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And the person wisely said, "How many of those things have you shared with your wife?"
Uh huh.
My answer was zero. I don't need to share those with my wife. She should know. And I think that's where we fall off the wagon. The fact that I'm still married means that I got back up on the wagon. But for many of us in the workplace, that's where trust doesn't occur.
Robert Tobias of American University, my guest, and very wise for revealing that list with her. I've learned that one already. I appreciate you being here. We'll be back to wrap up our conversation in just a few moments on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
India and Pakistan are still trying to figure out how to demilitarize one of the world's most dangerous battlefields in the Himalayan region. In a sign of how far apart the nuclear-armed rivals are, defense secretaries from both countries held 2 days of closed-door talks in New Delhi with no progress. They're trying to figure out how to reach an agreement on withdrawing troops from the mountainous no-man's land above the Sai-Chin Glacier. I'm J.J. Green.
Estimates show that more than 20,000 airline crew members clear security at our nation's airports each day. Since the beginning of this year, a unique group of 17,500 crew members from 61 different air carriers have been using the Airink Crew Pass service to test a new expedited screening process. This trial program at BWI, Pittsburgh, and Columbia, South Carolina uses 3 layers of secure data to positively identify each crew member in typically less than 8 seconds. Airink is focused on keeping you moving safely. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today's government professionals need real-time access to critical information no matter where they are. But how do we balance this requirement with the need to protect sensitive data and complex IT systems? Learn how by joining your government IT security and management peers at the 2011 Symantec Government Symposium on June 14th. Hear from keynote speakers General Colin Powell and Department of Homeland Security Undersecretary Rand Beers. Register today at www.symantec.com/symposium. That's www.symantec.com/symposium.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris.
The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
ACT IAC is looking for a few good members. Do you have what it takes? Are you a techie or a govvy? Do you want to make a positive impact? Can you bring fresh ideas to the table? Join ACT IAC today and help solve government's toughest IT challenges while advancing your career and making great new friends and contacts. To become a member, visit actgov.org. That's actgov.org. Or call 703-208-4800. ACT IAC wants you.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Just a few minutes left with Bob Tobias from American University. Try to sum up, I guess, what we've been talking about for the last 45 minutes or so in a takeaway thought or two. I can't be anything but a struggle to try to be a leader in the federal government in times like we're dealing with now. Give me something or a thought or two to cling to until we talk to you again.
Well, I think that leaders in the federal government at whatever level are incredibly challenged by what's happening externally. It's very hard to work in an environment where you are subject to unfair criticism at every turn. It's hard on you as a leader, and it's hard on those you lead. So creating and maintaining the connections you lead in the context of the attacks that federal employees are experiencing is a very difficult place to be. And I think the federal managers are not receiving the kind of recognition and support they deserve.
I always love having you in the studio, Bob. It's great to see you again. Give my best to your family, and I look forward to having you come back before too long and try to noodle out some more. We never did get to inherently governmental, so we're going to put that one on the docket for next time.
Thank you very much, Francis.
It is just before 4 o'clock on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose, and you can hear my conversation with Bob in its entirety posted later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.